good to see everyone. We have a great number here today, and thankful to be able to see each one of you. I sent out an email late last night and posted a message on the Facebook group, but just in case you haven't had a chance to see either of those, we're going to do some serving today, if you have the availability to do that. Some serving by singing. We have a lady that was we were made aware of through Amanda Reed, someone who she is close with, whose only child passed away recently with a brain tumor. And obviously there's a lot of pain and loss associated with that. And we texted back and forth a little bit, just talking about her and what she's going through and how we might be able to help. And obviously prayer is something that we can all be doing. It's good for people to know that people are out there somewhere praying for them. I feel like it means a whole lot more, though, when those people who are out there praying for you show up at your front door and want to spend just a few minutes singing some songs that have messages of hope and healing and comfort from pain. And so I've put together a packet of songs that I think would do that, at least share some of the love of Jesus that he has to offer. It's so much more than what we could do in just a few minutes on a Sunday afternoon. But what the plan is for us, when we break for the day, to everybody go be able to go have lunch and then meet back at the building about 12:30. And then we'll go together to Sherwood and sing some songs for this lady, and hopefully just be able to give her just a small measure of comfort and hope going forward. Bart, would it be okay if we stopped by your mom's house on the way and just opened the front door? We don't want to go inside. She don't have to be all put together and all that. She doesn't have to service any food. Just open the front door. Would that be okay? So we're going to go to Miss Patsy's house on the way to Sherwood. And if you have the time, the ability to do that, I think it'd be a really, really good thing for the people. I think it would be something that might bond us a little closely, more closely together too. So I'm hopeful that we have opportunity to do that. In Mark chapter 5, there is what I like to call a miracle sandwich. And the miracle sandwich is this. We're introduced to a man in verse 21 who needs Jesus' help. And Mark begins telling the story of how Jesus is going to go to this man's house and he is going to help him. And along the way, there is another miracle that's performed, and it's not one that Jesus had in his mind when he started walking toward this man's house. This is a different kind of miracle. In fact, it is unique among all the miracles, I think. I don't think there's another one that's like this one. There's many lepers that were healed, many people who were blind that were healed, lame people were restored to their ability to walk, people that couldn't speak, their mouths were loosened. There were even multiple people who were raised from the dead. But I don't think there's another miracle that we can find that's quite like this one. It is unique, and it pauses the original story. It pauses what Jesus is doing for the man who's come to him. And then after he has encountered this other person, he continues on, and Mark puts the top piece of bread on it and makes us a miracle sandwich of actually healing, in fact, raising this man's daughter from the dead. Although he just said that she was sleeping, everybody around there had confirmed that she had in fact died and told the man, you know, don't Don't trouble him anymore. It's too late. And so just a neat story. I love the way that Mark presents the details of these miracles. So I want to read that to you and get the details here and just see the amazing things that we can see from these special miracles. It says in verse 21, when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and on seeing him, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, "If I just touch his garments, I will get well." Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power had proceeded from him, had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe." And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." They began laughing at him, but putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his companions and entered the room where the child was. Talking to the child, or taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given to her to eat. This miracle sandwich is so rich with hope and detail that really brings... It wasn't Mark that thought to bring these two stories together. This is all God helping us to see some things from the faith of the individuals that are presented here. You start out with Jairus, a synagogue official whose child is very sick. And for a synagogue official to go to the one who everybody's talking about, risking his position likely in the synagogue, you know that he's coming to Jesus out of his desperation. And as they are trying to move through the crowds, and you can picture the scene when Jesus came into town and when he came onto the scene, you can imagine how quickly the crowds would gather and how people would run to just get a glimpse of him. Zacchaeus climbing a tree just to look at him. from a distance. And you can just see all these crowds wanting to be healed and fulfilled by this miraculous touch that Jesus had. And in the midst of all that crowd, here's this woman. Let me tell you about this woman. This woman has had a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years. For 12 years, this woman has suffered physically. And if the physical pain were all she ever had to endure, you could imagine that would be bad enough. But this woman has suffered emotionally. She suffered mentally from the way that her condition would have characterized her in the Jewish culture. We could go back to Leviticus and see that when this woman sat down on a chair, that chair is unclean. And anyone who sits in that chair after her is also unclean. Whenever this woman would lie down to rest, that bed or that pallet that she laid on was unclean. For 4,380 days, this woman walked around with the judgment of being an unclean woman. Just like a leper, she would have had to declare her unclean status. And if she hadn't, others would do it for her. They would point and shout, "Unclean, get away from us." Imagine that. For 12 years. It happens to be the exact same length of time that this little girl has been alive. When that girl was born, this woman's life ended. And when this woman got her life back, that little girl's life ended. What a unique set of details that we have to consider this morning. We're told that this woman, as she's pushing her way through the crowd, ceremonially dirtying up everybody that she touches, she has this thought in her mind, and it's based on what she's heard. It says when she heard about Jesus, she thought, "I can be healed by this man, and he or anybody else, nobody has to know about it. If I can just get close enough, just to touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Jesus has more healing power in his garment than anybody who's ever lived. Certainly more so than any of the doctors that I've seen." And all the trouble and turmoil that she's gone through. And so she pushes her way through the crowd and touches his garment, and immediately, that's one of Mark's favorite words. If you read through the Gospel of Mark as a whole, I would recommend it. It's really good. Immediately is a word you're going to count over and over and over again as an expression of Jesus' power and how it goes forth in his healing. Remember, Mark is writing to Romans and he's trying to prove to them that Caesar's not the Son of God. No, Jesus is the Son of God. And so it's just miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. I asked Joe to read that lengthy passage because it's just miracle after miracle after miracle. And this is what the woman would have been hearing. She would have been hearing about Jesus and what he was able to do for all these other people. And she would have said to herself, "This time it's going to work." She's probably said that many times in her life. With each new doctor, with each new treatment, with each new attempt to try to remedy her situation, this time it's going to work, but on this day, it feels different to say that. It feels different because Jesus is different. Because he's able to heal what others could never. He's able to mend broken things that others could not. And he's not going to charge me a dime for it. She hears about Jesus. She comes through the crowd. She touches his clothes, and immediately her affliction is healed. And Jesus stops. He says, "Who touched my clothes?" And I think that the chosen got this one right. It says the disciples said, "You see the crowds pressing in on you, and you ask who touched you." Now that was, it was Peter. It was Peter. Chosen got it right. Peter's like, "What are you talking about, Jesus? You've got people pushing in all around you. We're walking through the crowd like we're trying to get on a subway. Who touched you? Everybody's touching you. We're all touching each other. We're all packed in here like sardines. And you're wanting to know who touched your clothes? Everybody could raise their hand." Jesus knew it was different. He knew that power had gone out of him, and he turns around and sees the woman, and she's on the ground, afraid and trembling. And Jesus recognizes her faith and said, "It is your faith that has made you well," and bids her to go in peace. Think about what these 12 years must have been like for her. Be separated from her home. Maybe she was married, maybe she wasn't. We don't know. Certainly not able to be around her husband or children in that unclean state. If she's not married and she's still living in her father's house, she's not allowed to go home there either. She's unclean. Everything she does is unclean. Everything she touches is unclean. Everything that she touches that somebody else touches makes them unclean. Talk about the misery, the isolation, the seclusion, the pain, the emotion of being separated from everyone with no hope of anything ever changing. We went through that period of quarantine, and that initial wave was 2 weeks. 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? 12 years. 12 years. In your 2 weeks, you got to stay at home. You got to sleep on your own bed. You got to hug and kiss your spouse. Tuck your children into bed. As long as you didn't touch your face. For 12 years, this woman suffered the pain of isolation and seclusion, in addition to the physical pain that she endured. But what an amazing display of faith and courage. The mindset, the attitude of this time, it's going to work. And every time that she felt that, having the courage to step out there and do whatever she thought she could to get better, to change, to heal. Only to be met with discouragement and disappointment when it didn't work. Only to be met with poverty when she'd paid all that she could pay. The woman should have just given up. And many people suffering like she had suffered would have just given up. And probably would have given up far sooner than 12 years. But not her. She kept pressing on. She kept stepping out. She kept trying and working to do everything that she could to change her circumstance. And how frustrating it must have been that her desire was present and growing, but the opportunity, she lacked the means and the opportunity in order to see a remedy. And here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus, the one that can make it all better. And the way she thought, he doesn't even have to know about it. Think about that. Think about the measure of this woman's faith. To think that the Savior of the world can heal me with his clothing. That's how big our God is. That's how strong and how mighty he is. There is nothing that he cannot do, and this woman recognized that. And it's time for us to recognize that. It's time for us to believe in our big, mighty, strong, and powerful God and what he can do. We started off this year talking about how we want to be workers for the Lord. We want to be workers every day. We want to be strong and brave. We want to sing and pray. We want to be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. But you know, we've tried that before. I'm just speaking about us personally, right? We as people. Go back as far as you want to go in your mind. Since I've moved here, before I moved here, it's easy to have the mindset that we've tried to get better at this. We've tried to become better workers in the kingdom as individuals, right? We've tried that before. And it didn't work. We were just met with disappointment, met with discouragement. Try to plan something and nobody shows up. We get that way sometimes, don't we? When we try something and it doesn't work. Let's look at the one who understands exactly what that feels like. And to renew our minds in whatever circumstance. I mean, apply this lesson to whatever circumstance you want to. Apply it to marriage problems. Apply it to problems with your children, problems with your parents. Apply it to difficult situations at work. Apply it wherever you think this situation can be applied. Find the mindset of this woman that whatever we've been trying to do, let's try it again and believe that this time it's going to work. Because this time we're going to go in the name of Jesus. This time we're going to tackle this problem and we're going to do it in Jesus' name. This time we're going to be strong in the strength which God supplies. We sing about that. How much of that strength do we try to tap into when we try to be workers in his kingdom? Far too often, I think we have the mentality. I have. I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm trying to talk about mindsets that are pretty common among us. At least I think, maybe. If it doesn't apply to you, then find somebody that it does apply to and help them to adopt this mentality. Maybe we've tried something in the past and it failed. Maybe we've tried many things in the past and it failed. Maybe we've stepped out there and got stepped on and it failed. Maybe we've been doing that for 12 years. Maybe we've been doing it for 20. Let's go to Jesus and let's take him with us. And let's let that power that he has that can fix everything in the world, the whole world's problems, can be fixed by the stitching of Jesus' clothes. This time it's going to work. I think this church can identify with this woman. This church has been beat up and abused and talked about and ridiculed and judged and condemned and cast aside by everybody in this town. And it's time for us to stand up and say, that's not right. It's not right. This church may be unclean if we've got sin going on in our lives. But this church is not unclean because some group across town says that we're unclean. These bench chairs are not unclean, and anybody who comes to sit on them is then by touch becoming unclean. But that's the way it's talked about. When I came to hold a meeting here in October of 12. When were you born, Maddie Grace? 12. Thank you. I had a dear friend call me up and tell me that I should not hold a meeting here because this church was unsound. And after taking a few moments, these are close friends of mine, live in town, close friends of mine, and they were just calling me out of concern for my soul. And after I took a few moments to explain my situation to them, they understood. They were fine. When I came to move here, 2 years later, in October of 14, I get a phone call from a guy I barely know, who, as far as I know, has never even lived in the state of Arkansas. And he says, you cannot move to Conway and you cannot preach for Northside. The church is unsound. They don't teach the truth on marriage and divorce. And I responded to him and said, well, I'll tell you what I believe on marriage and divorce. And I'll just let you know, I don't know if the church has taught error on marriage and divorce in the past. I don't know. But I'm going there to be the preacher. So whatever's going to be taught on marriage and divorce is going to come from my mouth. I'm not going to be soiled because I go and sit among these people. And this man's never even heard of you. He doesn't know you. He lives two states over. It's wrong. It's just like what this woman would have gone through, to be talked about, to be slandered, to be treated like you are nothing, to be treated as though you are unclean, and anyone who comes through those doors has taken on our uncleanness. We've got to shed all of that. We've got to see through the pain. We've got to see through the past. And if we're going to be workers in the kingdom, I'm telling you, one of the reasons why I feel like there's some discouragement and some despair on being workers in the kingdom is because of what they are saying about us out there. And how hopeless it seems to try to work in the kingdom to only know that it's going to be thwarted by a bad reputation. This time it's going to work. It's time to shed the pain. It's time to put away the shame and the discouragement and all of the heaviness that has been laid upon us, and get busy every day working in the kingdom of the Lord. And this time, it's going to work. This time, we're going to make sure that Jesus is the one that we take with us when we work. That Jesus' name is the one in which we will do all of these things. We can be healed and we can be successful and we can do the work that God has called us to do, even right here at Northside. Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." How does our faith compare to hers? Do we believe in the one who can heal the world with the hem of his garment? Or do we believe what everybody else is saying? Or do we believe that we have to do it by our own power, our own ability, and it's never worked before, so why even try? This time it's going to work.